John chapter number 14. When the Savior started His earthly ministry, He gave instructions on the Sermon on the Mount to His young disciples. And I say young in that they were young in the faith. He teaches them on prayer, which we've already studied, that God is our Father, and we can go to Him with our needs, and He cares for us as His children. And what a blessing that is. Now in this passage of Scripture, we're on the other end of that ministry. The Lord has just told His disciples in John chapter number 13 that He was leaving, that He would be dying for their sins, and that He no longer would be with them on this earth. Which gets us to chapter 14, and that's why He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He brought them comfort in telling them that heaven was waiting for them, and that He was there, and that He would be there for them and with them. Thomas says, he said, "We don't know where you're going and how to get there." But Jesus says in verse number 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Jesus is that way. He will go on to tell them that they don't have to be troubled, because He's also going to leave with them the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. Verse 27, He tells them they don't have to get overwhelmed and troubled in heart, because He gives to them peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God gives us peace. It's not like the world gives. You know, the peace that the world gives is a peace that has to be made between two people. God doesn't give peace like that. He says it right there. His peace with God is not made, it's received. So He gives us His peace, and we don't have to let our hearts get overwhelmed. And He's giving these lessons to His disciples, and the whole context of it all is that He would be leaving, but they would be able to go on. They would be able to serve. They would be able to do great and wonderful things. And as He's given this course for the disciples before He leaves, He gives another lesson on prayer. And I want you to read with me real quick in John chapter 14 and in verse number 12. It says there, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it." God gives a great teaching here through the Lord Jesus on prayer. He's speaking, of course, to His disciples, giving them these parting lessons here before He goes to Jerusalem and to the cross. He's instructing them and telling them that they have a job to do. They are His messengers. They, and praise the Lord, the ministry continues today. We have been given the keys to the kingdom. And prayer was a channel given by God for that power to be received to do this work. And I want you to see a couple of thoughts that the Lord gives in one of His last lessons on prayer to His disciples. And a thought, again, of what prayer is. Prayer is much needed for us in this day. Prayer is something that we all need to practice. And again, the Lord brings this back up because it is one of the keys to serving the Lord. I want you to see a few things. Number one, I want you to see the plan of prayer in verse number 12. The plan of prayer, it says there in verse number 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me." If we're going to have an effective prayer life, number one, you got to trust in Christ. You have to trust in Christ. "He that believeth on Me." Obviously, for salvation, we must trust in Christ. But even beyond salvation, for us as believers, Again, he says, he that believeth on me. He's talking to his disciples here. I don't think the Lord's necessarily talking about salvation, but learning to trust in Christ. He said, you must believe in me. Say what? Believe that he is who he says he is, that he's done what he said he would do, and that he will keep every promise that he's made. We must come to him in faith. I believe the Bible's teaching this, and that's why he tells us in verse 27 that we can enjoy the peace of God in this life, doing the work of God, because he promised. I said today, I preached out of verse 27 to our nursing home ministry today online, and I encouraged him. I said, listen, this is peace that God has promised for you, but it must be received by faith. That's how we receive everything from God. Amen? We receive salvation. We receive peace by faith. We must believe that God, no matter what you're going through, say, God, I choose to receive your peace in the midst of this. I didn't get to post because of things going on today, my devotion that I normally do. But my text in this morning that I studied on in my devotions was 1 John chapter 4. Look at that real quick. In verse number 18, since I didn't get to put it online, you get to have it now. And technically, it's online. Amen? So, 1 John chapter number 4. You know, I've read this verse so many times. I've used this verse many times, but God grabbed me with it this morning and just meditated on it. It says there in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I've used that verse many times. I've applied it. I've preached on it. But God used it and showed me these things this morning as I was meditating on it. You know, the fact is this. You know, a lot of times, and I've even probably said it in my life, that if you're walking with the Lord, you won't have fear. Well, that's really not what that verse says. It says that perfect love casts out fear. You can't cast out something out that wasn't there. And I don't care who you are, we all are going to go through things and times whenever it's not easy. And great trials. So when this is here, perfect love cast it out. Isn't that a blessing? So what's that mean, perfect love? It's knowing this. Ready? God loves me. He loves me. Jude tells us as believers, keeping yourselves in the love of God. In other words, reminding yourself daily, God loves me. You say, well, how does that cast out fear? Because I don't care who you are, we all have times when we go through fearful times, trying times, difficult times, hard times, but perfect love will cast out the fear out of our lives. You say, how does that work? It works this way. When I'm going through something and all those fears and burdens begin to overwhelm me, I have to stop and say, God, thank you for loving me. And because I know that you love me, you will see me through this. You will get us through this because you love me. And that understanding and acceptance by faith that my God loves me is a promise that says, fear, get out. My God's got this. Perfect love will cast that out. So back in our text in John, he says this, if we're going to have prayer, effective prayer, prayer that is powerful, number one, you have to believe on me. I know I'm looking at a congregation tonight that I would say pretty much everyone in this auditorium professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Praise God for that. I'm not asking you that when I ask you this. Do you believe God's going to take care of your prayer request? Do you believe God's going to take care of your needs? Do you believe that God has this under control? Because if we're going to have effectual prayer, we must believe on Him. We must leave it up to Him and say, God, I give this to you. And I trust you to take care of this. You see, the trust in Christ, the plan of prayer is the trust in Christ, and then to toil for Him. In verse number 12, keep reading, it says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You see, God has given us prayer. And one of the great reasons for prayer, obviously, I said last week, that's why we were created. was the fellowship with God. And God gave us prayer by a means to do that. But also God has given us prayer as a resource to do the work of God. God has a commission for us. Amen? God has a duty for us as believers. We are ambassadors here in this world. God has given us what we call the Great Commission, and we must do that as a church and reach out and reach this world. It's only effectual through prayer. We are busy at Kazzato Baptist Temple. We got a lot of ministries. Praise God for that. I could go around and list all the ministry I have, from nursing homes to buses to junior church to school to Sunday school classes to, and we could go on and on and on about the different outreaches that we have, and pretty much most every member in this church is involved in some sort of reach out and reaching out ministry, and praise God for that. But I'm telling you, I'm telling Travis Burke as pastor, I'm telling you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can, as my grandpa used to say, just be spinning your wheels if you do it without the power of God. And the only way, and the only means to have the power of God in your life is to do the work through prayer. Look at the text, you'll see it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these also, or greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Understand this, a proper prayer life is one that is praying for the power of God to do the work of God. You know, something quite amazing is in this passage of Scripture. Something that really ought to just blow our socks off. The fact that this, that we will do what the Bible says is greater works. Greater works. I gave you one, the plan of prayer. Number two, I want to talk about the power of prayer. The power of prayer. I mentioned this is unbelievable. Look at the unbelievable there in verse number 12. It says, this shall he do also. We're going to do the work. Look what Jesus Christ said. Greater works than these shall he do. Greater than what? He that believeth on me, the works that I do. Who's the I? Christ. Greater, it says there, the works that I do, the works that Jesus did, we will do. And greater works than these shall he do. That's unbelievable. Amen? Do you get the gravity of what the Lord Jesus Christ just said? Greater works. The Lord did in his time, and what he did in his time upon the earth is beyond belief. Yet, the Lord said through prayer that you will do greater works. I mean, just saying that, I almost think, am I allowed to say that, right? But that's what the Bible says. Greater works. It's what Jesus said. It says, and greater works than these shall he do. God's going to use us to do greater works. I'm not comparing myself to God. I just want to see how God made a promise and he did it. I'm not in any way trying to devalue what Jesus did. When Jesus left this earth, he had roughly about 500 followers that were meeting there in Acts that he left behind. In just a few chapters in Acts, there's 5,000, 10,000, 12,000 saved on a day. The gospel spread in just 100 years across Europe. Churches were started. I'm not belittling what Jesus did. Praise God. It blows my mind what he did. But what he promised would happen did happen. God used Holy Spirit-inspired men to do a great work when the power of God was flowing through them. And what you'll find in the book of Acts, that these men, those 500, the first thing you see is they're on their knees praying. You'll see in Acts 2, the whole church was gathered together praying, and all of a sudden the house was filled with the power of God. God said, if you'll pray, the unbelievable will happen. I will use you to do great things. It's a bus ministry getting a little stale. It's a Sunday school class, not what it used to be. We don't see growth. Don't see people getting saved. Maybe we just need God's power in our life again. Maybe we need to set ourselves apart and seek God and watch the unbelievable happen. But then not only the unbelievable, but I want you to see in the power of prayer, the unsearchable. In verse number 12, now look how why this happens. All right. Do we all agree now that the Lord wants to do greater works than what he did on this earth? That's what it says. Here's how it happens. End of verse number 12. Because I go into my Father. He's not dead. He ascended. Because I go into my Father, and whatsoever ye ask shall ask in my name, that will I do. You know why God, the Lord Jesus, can make this promise? Because he had already told them he was leaving. He already told them what was going to happen. My friends, what the Lord's talking about is this, that through Christ's death, he would break the power of sin. Through his resurrection, he would say that that promise, the power to live, is there. Through his ascension, the power of God was accessible to us. And the Holy Spirit would bring that power to communicate to God through us. This union between he and us through prayer would change everything. Because now when we pray, we have an advocate with the Father. Now when we pray, God is on the throne. Amen? Seated at the right hand of God in power is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name, it will be done. Because God has promised it through his work and death and resurrection. The fact that he ascended and is seated at the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit prays for us with things that we can't even utter. What a blessing it is to know that God is there, the Lord Jesus is there, and they want to answer our prayers. The power of prayer, you see the unbelievable and the unsearchable and then the unlimited in verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. The word whatsoever is amazing, isn't it? Whatsoever. It's unlimited. We just have to ask. But as I close this lesson, you saw the plan and the power of prayer, but I want you to see the purpose of prayer. Here's the purpose. Now, the Lord gave some beginning instructions on prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. We studied that. What a blessing it was. Here's one of his last lessons. And he reveals to us something now which will change our entire prayer life. He reveals something now to the disciples that would help them and guide them through the rest of their life. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Ready? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Every answered prayer has at its end to glorify God. That glory through the Lord Jesus Christ will be given to God. Can I tell you one of the reasons I believe in my studies and how it's helped me and it is helping me and I hope helps you, that a lot of times we experience unanswered prayers because we don't pray that God might be glorified through it. James warns, right, that we ask and receive not, because we ask that we might consume it upon our own lust. And a lot of times I just always equate that with, you know, a brand new truck, right? I would enjoy that. Never owned a truck. I would like to. You know, a brand new truck or, you know, brand new bass boat or something like that. And we always just leave it at that and joke and say, yep, that's why I can't pray for that, because I'm lusting over that. You know, I would like to have that, but I think we're missing it. I can pray for my bills to get paid because I don't want to fall behind or get phone calls. I can pray for new tires on my car because I'm sick of running on a donut, right? I can even pray for my friend who's sick because I missed their fellowship. You can pray about anything you want to. You can ask for whatever you want to. But let me ask you this question. This is what's challenged me in this lesson. Do I pray it that God would get the glory? Because if that's not the end and the purpose of my prayer here, maybe I'm doing it because of my own lust. I mean, think about your prayer life and when we pray. I'm not belittling anything, but it's for a wayward child, right? We should pray for a child that's going in the wrong direction. Absolutely. So why are you praying for that? So that you won't have to worry? So that you can have them back in church? Or is our prayer to say, God, do this, that your name might be glorified? It's a big difference there. It's a big difference. Brother Souza was here. He always gives this illustration when he preached in missions conference about his car. He'd say, you know, I like my car. Brother Souza would say that. He said, one time I went to God and told him, I need new tires. God, it's your car. Provide the tires so that I can keep going and preaching for your glory. And God gave him new tires. I wonder many times if we don't pray and we forget that we're praying for His glory. If one of my daughters or my son was very sick, I'd ask you to pray for them. And I'd want you to pray for them. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this: may our prayer be, God, heal them for your glory. But if everything's done for His glory, and I know He's going to answer it when it's done for His glory. Amen? That's what He said. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If that is my purpose, that His glory, then if God doesn't heal my child, then I trust He did it for His glory. If God doesn't give me new tires, then I trust He's doing it for His glory. You see, we face many things. Even I was studying today for Thessalonians and for our sermon Sunday night. And I'm sure Paul in 3 weeks was cramming in everything, you know, we talked about. He had to leave. And I'm sure he wanted to spend more time, but God said, nope, you got to leave. And he left after only 3 weeks. I'm sure Paul was praying, God, please allow me to stay. Please allow me to stay. But he didn't. But I would venture to say, because of the walk of God that Paul had, that he prayed for his glory to be done. So what happens? He had to leave. He did. He suffered. He did. And because he didn't get to spend 3 weeks with the Thessalonians, or more than 3 weeks with them, they had questions that weren't answered. And those questions had to be answered by Paul in 2 letters. Which have helped millions of believers for thousands of years. Sometimes we may not get what we want, but if we're praying for the glory of God, we can trust Him. Believe on me. That no matter where He goes and what He leads, if long as He's getting the glory, I can trust Him. You see, the purpose of prayer is for the glory of God. Even the Lord, look over right there. Look at John 17. John chapter 17 is one of the prayers of the Lord that are recorded in Scripture. And what a magnificent passage of Scripture this is, as the Lord, and He prays, and we see all the prayer requests that the Lord has. And by the way, in this prayer that the Lord prayed thousands of years ago, He prayed for you and me. He prayed for all of us in this prayer. He prayed, you see there in verse number 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you and me. The Lord prayed for us. Isn't that a blessing? And this passage of scripture is filled with so many blessings and seeing what the Lord prayed for. But I want to start in verse number 1 of chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. The purpose of this prayer was to glorify the Father. When the Lord broke the bread and the fishes and fed, read it. It's for the glory of the Father. When the Lord called Lazarus from the tomb, it's for the glory of the Father. What a powerful lesson for us tonight. It'll change our prayer life. When we go to the Lord for his glory. And that is the end of our prayer request. God, for your glory. I can go through our prayer list tonight. I'm not going to, but I can read every one of them. And it changes the way we pray. And we say, God, work in their life for your glory. For your glory. The plan of prayer, the power of prayer, the purpose of prayer, simply done with this in verse number 14, the promise of prayer. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. God can't lie. And when we pray, because we know we have a work to do, and our purpose is to do the work of God, and we are praying, understanding that God can handle this, I believe on him. And the end of our prayer is that you do this and whatever glorifies the Father. Then there's a promise. It'll be done. It'll be done. Father, thank you.